Okay, maybe I should get a stand. If somebody else feels like you need prayer and you've just been holding out, we'll do that after service, okay? So it's not like you missed the moment. But man, there are times where if God is moving, I would encourage you to jump on and take advantage of it when it happens because, man, I just don't want to miss the bus. Like when God says, I'm doing something, then who are we to say, no, I don't want to do it now. Yeah? Amen. Cool. You know me. Okay. This Thursday, multi-churches are meeting on the Oval. So that's May 5th at 6:30 for National Day of Prayer. So if you are looking for somewhere to be, someone to pray with, that is your spot on the Oval. And like I said, multiple churches are involved. Multiple pastors will be praying and right there in front of God and everybody in the traffic, we're gonna pray. Amen. Amen. I know that we have Women's Ministry Paint Night coming up this Friday at 6 p.m. Don't forget your $15, it says on the slide, because paint costs something, and we don't take up offerings here. and then the Real Options Walk for Life is this Saturday at 9:30. So we'll be starting at Trinity Life Community Church. And for those of you who are saying, where's the Nashua one meeting? Both Nashua and Manchester are meeting here at this one, and two walks are happening at the same time here, okay? So if you need more details, feel free to reach out to me or Jamie or Rachel, and we can point you into further detail. We'll probably just hand you off to Ron. Cool?
Yeah.
Okay, please feedback today. Thank you. All right, so we left off last week because I didn't finish, and that seems to be the story of our life here. We were talking about how the bride of Christ is also the bride of the warrior king, right? So he's not just the Lamb of God, although he is, but he's also the Lion of Judah, right? And so when someone messes with your girl, men, what do you do? Intervene. Tom, yeah, there you go. All right, Gurr. I felt that passion, I know. And Jesus is the same way, only better. You know, when someone picks on his bride, he doesn't just stand by and say, Father, if it be thy will, may I intervene. Right? I keep giving these analogies over the last couple weeks because I almost feel like I'm still trying to convince people that they're loved of God. And when I say loved of God, like intensely, like in the way that he wants to break in and intervene in the now kind of God. No, not the sweet by and by. And I feel like if we could just understand that, not only would it change the way we receive from God, but it would change everything, even the way we give back to him. Know what I mean? Kind of like Linda said, it's the things I know I ought to do are suddenly become the things I want to do, right? Because when you know you're loved, you can't help but respond back in love. When you feel duty, I always have to start by saying, do you feel the love of God yet? Have you connected with that in a long time? And most of the time, the answer to that question is, no, I've been dry for a while now. There's a relationship between not connecting with the love of God and who he is and then not being able to respond to him well. And then we usually talk about, when you have really, really dry ground, think about like pictures you've seen in the Mojave Desert and suddenly rain hits that soil. Do you guys, can you tell me what happens to it? It breaks first. It's like this clay, thick, hard, rocky kind of sheet that will then crack into a million pieces. Have you ever seen those desert pieces? It looks like just shattered glass, but it's actually sand that hardened, and right? And so what the first thing, I know this is not like Bible, I'm giving you the analogy, but this is just my experience over years. That cracking first starts to happen, and you feel ugly. You don't feel like soft and like life is coming back. What you really feel like is that you just broke into a million little pieces. And that's okay, because what then happens as the water continues to seep in, then those little pieces and those shards turn into soft, right? And I'll give you a heart of flesh, he said, right? So that you will want to obey me, right? And then, as Asaph said, then it begins to bloom. Matter of fact, there are seeds that will bloom in the desert that have been in the sand for over 100 years, and they will come to life with just a little bit of time and water, right? Yes, break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, right? Yeah, all right, and we only do that. You don't break up the hard ground because you just decide today is the day. It's May 1st, and it's time to break it up, and you get your eyebrows kind of like this, and you say, today, I'm going to force myself to respond to the heart of God in the right way, right? But what, humans do that so naturally, don't we? There's a word for that. It's called religion, right? Right? And it doesn't work. It's like the insanity definition. I try the same thing over and over, and it's come. Why am I still doing the same thing over? It's time to stop that. It's time to stop that. And it's time to almost drop what you're doing. Stop trying to break up your own fallow ground, right? We have to seek the Lord. We have to surrender to the Lord. We have to surrender to the heart of God and reconnect with the love of God before we take another step, right? And that's why I brought all that around to say it's so important that we take these moments in worship to just honor him, to respond to him. If there's healing happening, maybe there's a word of encouragement or a prophetic word or something. Like, we just need to be ready to say yes to that moment, because we don't want the soil of our heart growing hard. Right? And so any of us who feel like that's uncomfortable, or right at the end of worship, it got silent. Were you guys cool with the silence? Because, right? Because for some people, that's awkward. Silence is, like, we feel like, I need to feel just something. Fill the noise with something, right? And it would not be appropriate. But, right? But there's an uncomfortableness in silence. And again, it's time to sometimes be uncomfortable and respond to him and just allow our, like, comfort to surrender itself to what he's doing. And we realize that when our heart surrenders, then there's a softening that takes place in the heart. And in the softening is when he can come in and go deeper. Right? So congratulations if you felt uncomfortable this week and you went with it. Right? Congratulations. Congratulations if you felt like praying over somebody was scary and you just did it. Or for, we were praying for you, even some of you who may have felt like for you, the challenge was getting up out of your chair and going to say hello to someone across the room. You became a conduit of the love of God. And you would be like, well, that's no big deal. Yes, it is. For some of us introverts, that's a big deal. Right? You don't know how many people who just did that went back to their seat, had a stomach ache, and said, I think I might puke. But you did it, right? Or you're doing it. So I'm encouraging you. That's how you softened your heart to the love of God, because you're breaking that up and allowing him to pour into somewhere else. Otherwise, you're like, I'm not moving. I'm waiting for someone to come to me. And the Lord's like, come on, you got a thick heart and I can't get through. Right? Cool? And for some of you, it's like raising your hands. For some of you, it's believing for the impossible. For whatever. There's so many ways we can all grow and mature, but let's not stay the same. And let's not approach this body, and I'm not talking about this building, this body, the same way we always do every week, okay? That's where maturity happens, in the stretching. So to marry a king is to embrace his battles and to fight his enemies, right? And we realize, okay, so I was married to a warrior king, and so that makes us, the body, a warrior bride. Great. At the same side, there's the tension of the equal and opposite reality. They feel in contrast with each other, and they're not. They're completely in harmony with each other. But to be this warrior against the enemies of God, and yet to know that you are the object of God's love and favor. So on one hand, you're fighting, and it's easy to be like, why am I fighting? This seems so hard. And on the other side, to say, I am loved of him, and I'm the object of his favor, and his eyes are for me, right? And you can't let go of the two tensions, or else you'll snap and you'll go one way in out of balance. You good with that? Okay, if you are, I'll give you another. To join the king in the matters of the kingdom is to share his like-hearted love for what he loves and for who he loves. If you had ever had a second marriage and you married into someone else's children and you just, they had to become your children. There is no discussion, right? Right? It's not even an option. Like you can we consider this? No, there's no consider. They are your kids now. You love them, right? And that is what it's like to marry Jesus. Like he's got a lot of kids. As you're embracing his family, it's to know that you are becoming a target of his or her family. Didn't go after her, went after Mordecai, who's like her dad, adopted dad. Right? And that is not to scare you. That is just to, like, again, two tensions. To embrace the father is to embrace his kids, right? And yet, to embrace the father is to realize you're a target and so is your family. And that's not to be scary. That just means you can't step into the warrior role without realizing that you have to be ready and engaged, and there is no tuning out and saying, oh, Father, bless me, now I'm going. That was a great little service. I'll do this again next week. See you next week. I should get bigger nods on that. Yeah. Don't be a target and just come complacently into the family of God and treat it like it's que sera sera, because it is not. You'll be picked apart, I'm telling you. I'm not cursing you. I'm trying to help you. Okay. How when Haman decided he wanted to impale Mordecai on a pole, that he could have selected a 5-foot pole, and he went for the 75-foot option. Right? 5-foot will do ya. Heck, he's Jewish, so 4-foot would have done him. Shouldn't have said that. All right. But he went with the 75-foot option. And the reason I'm pointing that out is the fear and the drama of the enemy is to inflate things way overboard, right? To make us see something and be like, wow, not only is it going to be horrendous, but it's going to be horrendous and way public and embarrassing and shameful and fill in the blank, right? And we get like something that should be an attack of the enemy that we just pray and deal with and just move on suddenly owns us. It owns our, it preoccupies us, right? And our peace is gone and our shower time is wasted with all the fear and panic and right and all this mess. And really, it's like Psalm 27, 1 through 14, the Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? Right? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? Because I thought of this one time that I prayed and the Lord didn't show up, and so therefore I can just be afraid all the time. That's the enemy talking, right? And that's you taking one situation or some number of situations, and now you are calling God something other than what he called himself. And he called himself a light and salvation. So if you really want to pick this fight with your hubby, go walk up to Jesus and tell him you are not a light and you are not salvation, and that's why I should be afraid. See what he says. Don't be afraid, he won't be indignant. He doesn't care that you are upset. What he wants to do is get to the core of why do you really not trust me? And so whatever that voice is that says, but I don't trust you because, Jesus, then you, I'm going to teach you like basic 101 inner healing, okay? Stop. Holy Spirit, why do I really not trust you? And just sit. Quiet, awkward, just like worship time, awkward, quiet. And let something come up. And then say, Holy Spirit, why did this come up? Okay. Sit there and this, okay, and get something. And okay, Holy Spirit, you just said this to me. Why did you say this to me? And do that a good 7 levels deep. I kid you not. If you're listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, eventually he's going to get to something like a basic level broken piece of information in our heart. Like you didn't feel loved, you didn't feel protected, you didn't feel secure, right? You felt like you have to do it all yourself, right? Something will rise up and you're going to have to go, oh, I have to surrender that today. Holy Spirit, I have to believe if you told me that, that you're going to give me the power to do that. Because he's not going to point something out and say, see ya. That's not the God he is, right? Somebody should go practice that, okay? You guys going to, anybody going to go practice that? Yes. Okay, good. Then I didn't waste my time. When evil people come to devour me, could you say when? It's not an if, it's a when. When. When my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Will. Can we say will? Well, it's a conditional. When? Will. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. Verse 13 says, I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness. And this is key. I need my highlighter. I'm going to highlight it right on the screen. While I'm here in the land of the living, okay? This is not sweet by and by, heaven one day. Today I'm just broken and pathetic. One day, 100 years from now, I'll be beautiful. Today, it stinks. No, okay? We have to embrace this or tear it out of your Bible. And I do care which one you choose, but you can't stay in the middle, okay? Do you understand the heart of God is like tapping people on the heart today and saying, listen, I didn't die so you could be half-baked. I'm coming back for a spotless bride who's beautiful and without blemish and without wrinkle. So stop believing it's okay to be broken until you're dead, yeah. Right? And this is not like one of those faith messages because, I'm not taking up an offering. I'm not asking. This is just basic, like, connect with who he says he is or tear it out of your Bible, right? Okay. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. Do you know why he had to say it twice? You want to wait for the answer? Because we don't do that well, do we? We don't love to wait, right? Okay, so there's this plot, and Mordecai is now target of Haman. Haman wants to basically just walk into his buddy's office, the king, and just get final permission, final sign-off on impaling Mordecai. Okay? He probably could have done it without permission because he was number two in the empire, but he just wanted that final sign-off, his cover his butt, you know? That's what we do in corporate. Okay, and so Casey covered in February this story about this assassination attempt against the king's life. Do you remember this? Okay, remember there were two guys, they wanted to kill the king, and Mordecai happened to be in some kind of ear view, and he overheard these plans out the plot and was saved, right? And Mordecai was never recognized for that effort. The world went back to normal. How many of you have ever done an amazing job and nobody recognized it? Right? And it stinks, doesn't it? It stinks not to be recognized. And I don't mean it for your pride, but there's a piece of you that's like, well, if good behavior is not recognized, why should good behavior continue? It's not people fishing for attaboys here. I'm just, the reason I'm teaching on this piece of it is because as I was writing this week, I really felt like there was this thing that some people here are disappointed and disillusioned about not being recognized. And there's even potentially a piece of your identity that is sunk into, I'm never recognized. This is just who it is. And we seem to be made to suffer. This is our lot in life. Right? Which means that you are giving permission, essentially, to be kicked constantly. And it's okay, because that's just who we are. Is this cool? Did I poke a hot button? Only poked on it because I want to see you get healed, okay? Nothing happened, though. Poor Mordecai. The best we know at this moment is that there's a plot to kill him on a 75-foot pole. That's all we know. And he was a loyal dude. And he did a good job, right? So, if we could jump to the Esther scripture here. That night, the king had trouble sleeping. So he ordered an attendant to bring the book of the history of the rain so that it could be read to him. So this is cool. This is poets were hired by the king to basically write the history of their life as it was happening, but they were asked to write it in a way that was adventurous and poetic and like interesting to read and made you look really good in the story, like CNN, all right? Yeah, it's basically a book of fake news. And that's why the guy, you know, he's having trouble sleeping at night, so who wouldn't you want to read like the epic of your own life and how awesome you're doing? To follow Ming really loud, it'd be like, oh, I'd love to know that I'm like the most favorite king of all ever. Amen. No, just okay. Verse 2, that meant nothing. In those records, he discovered an account. This is from last February, remember, with Casey. He discovered an account of how Mordecai had exposed the plot of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the eunuchs who guarded the door to the king's private quarters. They had plotted to assassinate King Xerxes. What reward or recognition did we ever give Mordecai for this? The king asked his attendants. They replied, nothing has been done for him. So suddenly, there's a plot against his life, and then the Lord brings up, I should have recognized that guy. Right? Now, we could be more like the Mordecai in the story. In last February, we didn't get recognized, and so we're like, I never get recognized, right? And to realize that, like, literally, we're one sleepless night away from God doing something amazing. Anybody having sleepless nights? Yeah, me too. And I was laying there just trying to sleep and saying, I'm one sleepless night away from a miracle, you know? Right? It's stirring up faith to line up your heart, and especially if any part of your sleeplessness is tied to an actual health issue, to line up your heart with the heart of God in faith means you're going against your very physiology in order to believe who he is. And so I'm encouraging you to do that. Like, you're literally fighting your physical tendency to want to go the other way and just telling yourself, right? Like, I think it's Psalms 42 where the Lord's, where David said, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God, right? He's talking to himself, right? For I will yet praise him. He's the hope of my countenance and my God. And countenance literally means smile. He's the hope in my smile. My smile is my physical decision, but my hope is from him because I connected and I put my heart in line with him. Amen? This is good work. This is good work, guys. It reminds me of Ecclesiastes 3:11, where the Lord said that he makes everything beautiful in its time. I don't think I have a slide, Ethan. I see you squinting. He makes everything beautiful in its time. Well, of course we know what time is it to be beautiful? Right now, right? Every day is a beautiful day. And the Lord, he's like, no, I have your promotion and your recognition and I have your reward, but I'm going to put the pause on it because there's a better moment where I can pull this out, okay? And I'm not trying to justify like when you felt like you were not recognized and say, it's okay, right? But I'm trying to put your hope in the fact that God can move your broken moment and make it beautiful in his time, right? And so do you want to see what happens in his time? It's really cool. Esther 6, 4 through 12. It's a big block of scripture, so I might not read it all. But Haman is now coming to ask for permission to kill, and the king's like, who's that out there? And they say, it's Mordecai, right? So the attendants replied, it's Mordecai. Bring him in, the king said. So verse number 6, Haman came in and he said, and the king says to Mordecai, what should I do to honor a man who truly pleases me? And Haman thought to himself, who would the king wish to honor more than me? Remember, I told you that this Haman is a narcissist, right? It's just, I can't find this any other way. So, of course, it's all about me. So he replied, if the king wishes to honor someone, next slide, please, he should bring out one of the king's own royal robes, as well as a horse that the king himself has ridden, one with a royal emblem on its head. Let the robes and the horse be handed over to one of the king's most noble officials, and let him see that the man whom the king wishes to honor is dressed in the king's robes and led through the city square on the king's horse. Have the officials shout as they go. This is what the king does for someone he wishes to honor. That's pretty cool, right? All right, and next slide. Do you know where this is going to go? Excellent. Make sure it happens. Do it to Mordecai. And by the way, you know that official that you want to run ahead and proclaim and herald how amazing he is? That's you. You start running. Isn't that cool? Like justice, baby, right? So at verse 11, Haman took the robes, put them on Mordecai, placed them on the king's own horse, led him through the city square shouting, this is what the king does for someone he wishes to honor. Meanwhile, every part of it is like, I just want to impale this guy. Why won't you get impaled, right? Why won't you die? And afterward, Mordecai returned to the palace gate, but Haman hurried home dejected and completely humiliated. Remember when I told you last week, Psalm 76:10, that human defiance only enhances your glory. You use it as a weapon. You actually see that in action in that last block of scripture. Human defiance was flipped, right? A pre-planned attack of the enemy was flipped. And this is what's fun. And it's fun to talk about today, even more fun to try to live it out tomorrow on a Monday. Right, is that the kingdom of God is an upside down kingdom, and the Lord is the master of judo. And he takes something and he flips it. Okay? And so what was meant for an attack, he can use as energy to make it go your way. He does it all the time, right? Rachel and I were in the car. It was yesterday. All the days run together. And so... You know, we have our little business, right? And bad things happen in business. Some things happen because you deserve it, and some things happen just because you can't control it, right? Logistics, recession, whatever, right? You can't control this stuff. And something bad happened, and we were like, you know, every time that something bad has happened historically, the Lord has used it, even though it was painful, to make us better, make our business stronger, make us smarter, set us up with, like, more opportunity, right? Something is always good has come of these little moments where you really want to scream. And in some ways, I'm not going to lie, there are times where I do go all by myself and want to put my head in a pillow and, right? But I kid you not, every time this has happened, he does that. It's not always like something I can put a monetary value on. Sometimes it's like we were only dealing with one factor. Well, now we're going to be forced to deal with three. So we have, you know, a bigger base to, so we're not dependent. Or you get what I'm saying? And I'm sure you have these stories. But the idea is this, that God flips all these challenges, and we just need to stop saying, God, why are you doing this to me? And rephrase the question and say, God, what good are you doing in this moment? Right? Because it's so much better to be on the side of the master judo than to be trying to fight against him. Amen. Right? So something comes your way, and he says, let me step in for you, my bride. And he grabs, and he holds, and he directs, and he flips it, right? But if we step in the way, and we're like, wait, hold it, God. This is, he's like, get out of my way. Right? Okay, again, not trying to be overly faith conscious here as much as I'm just trying to align our hearts back again with the hope of who he is in us. And that even though something feels broken and difficult, it does not prove God doesn't love you and that he doesn't intervene. It just means we didn't see the moment that God flipped yet. Are you guys cool with this so far? Okay, well, good, because we're out of time. I got so many cool verses. Anywhere? There's always room for part three. All right, so it's May the 1st, right? And you know how some people make those, like, May the 4th is May the 4th be with you? And they make, all right. Right? All right. It's May the 1st. May the 1st thought be on your mind. I wonder how God's going to flip this. Okay, good. I'm copywriting it. And then on May 3rd, we're going to tweet, May the 3rd Great Awakening be as amazing for you as it is for me. All right. I am going to, dang gummit, I have so many cool things. We're going to go instructional next week, okay? I have some really good spiritual warfare kinds of scriptures that we're going to teach you to grab a hold of and speak it back, because there's power in our words. You know, my word will not return void unto me, saith the Lord, right? It'll accomplish that to which I sent it. And so when we speak in his words, right, we make our words come into alignment with his words, and then we understand that the power is not ours. The power is making our heart line up with his heart, and he's already spoken it. So now we're just, you get what I'm saying? We're just repeating. And it's always great when husbands and wives are in agreement with each other. It really makes things go much better, right? And so if you and the Lord are not in agreement with each other, guess who should change? Right? Okay. So we'll do that teaching stuff next week. I don't want to cut that short. I will end with one final verse, okay? And this comes out of Psalms 112, 4 through 10. Do I have a slide between before that? Or did 4 through 9 get cut off? There we go. Nice. You're the man. Thank you, Ethan. So it says here, light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. And I skipped a couple verses, went in at 6. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. You hear that? I'm telling you, for those of you who felt like you have to deal with that piece of you that was not recognized, like the Lord is trying to, this is like a day he wants to address that with you, okay? This is like something to go home and deal with him, and just understand he loves you and he doesn't want you carrying that. And that could go all the way back to your parents, or it could be a job, or it could be a special significant person.
Recognizes me, I do my best, and dang it. She should know how lucky she is.
Yeah, don't laugh too loud, you make her look guilty. just kidding. But okay, so he's dealing with that. You will be long remembered, okay? I'm telling you, deal with it with him. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to them. They are confident and fearless, and they face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever, and they will have influence and honor. Before we move on, can we hold it for a second? For some of us, and this is especially going to be important as if the economy gets a little harder and you find yourself becoming more financially challenged, that you load in your six shooter that verses 8 and 9, that you can be confident, fearlessly, you share freely and give generously to those in need. It's important you load that into your bullets now, and so that when you become under duress financially, you can say by faith, I am confident and I can be generous and I can give to people in need. In the difficult, like we don't want to be financially strapped and say, sorry, I can't help you. Like, we want to be walking in the faith that says, I have enough and enough to share. Okay? Yes. So that's your armor. I called it a bullets in your six shooter. You get the point, right? Same kind. Load this into your database, okay? They'll have influence and honor. Next slide, please. The wicked will see this and will be infuriated. They will grind their teeth in anger and they will slink away, their hopes thwarted. Who's the wicked? It's the enemies. Yeah, it's not people. Again, I always need to say that disclaimer. Was that on some weird, you know, that I'm talking about people, right? It reminds me of the last verse we read in the Esther story, which was, as soon as Haman was done, he slinked away, went home, and cried to his wife because he was infuriated and he was broken. right? It's just a physical picture of a spiritual reality that the Lord loves causing the enemy to grind his teeth and slink away, his hopes thwarted. That team left the kingdom to find their own way and steal from the kingdom of God the glory of God. They couldn't do it, and so it is his joy to say, how you liking that? How you enjoying that? And it's our joy to surrender to the will of God, to right? Because we know that in his life, there is life. Amen. All right, cool. I won't continue. I really enjoyed testimonies. I really enjoyed opportunities to pray over people in service. We don't have to manufacture that every week, so please don't think we're trying to create something new every week, okay? But when those moments happen, we just want to fly with it, okay? I really appreciate that you guys seem to be generally agreeable to that. And I also want to ask that when you come to church, you ask the Lord then, Lord, are you going to use me today? Do you have something that I should share, something prophetic that you want to do, someone you want me to pray for, right? Just begin to ask that question. If nothing happens, great. At least you checked in and he used you, right? You good? I got me a mic right now.
I just feel like there are some people that didn't reach out about being prayed for because you're letting disappointments in your past of either not being healed or not, or like not, or being disappointed, keep you from what God wants to do for you today. So I just wanted to say, I just was reminded that Linda talked about like a spiritual awakening, like a true touch of God in her heart that she needed, that only Jesus could give her. It was emotional, it was spiritual. And Nikki talked about a physical need that only God could do for her, but that God himself, you know, was able to work through the body to bring her supernatural healing. And it was something that God did in a moment. So I just want to say, if you need a touch from the Holy Spirit, if you need a touch from God today, you just need a fresh filling. That's what the body is here for. And I think I speak for Daryl to say after service, like, come and get that filling. Come and be emotionally and spiritually filled up. Let the Holy Spirit do that work. Don't let the devil be satisfied. Let him be infuriated that you decided to come up and let your and not let your disappointment from things that have happened in the past keep you from what God wants to do for you today. So whether it's emotional or whether it's physical or whatever it is, come and be restored.
Amen. 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 Hey, Casey, would you close us out?
Have a good week, everybody.
No. Come on, a little more religious than that. Thank you, man.
Father, we just want to pause and say thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for being among us. Thank you for wanting to be with your people. Lord, thank you for showing up. Thank you for answering prayers. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for turning your ear towards us and not pushing us away for any reason. Thank you for the cross of Jesus, who paid it all so that every ounce of love that you have in your being, of who you are, could be directed towards us. That there is nothing stopping us from receiving your love because of the work of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you that it is your work, that it was what you did, and that we can just fully receive your grace and your mercy and your love and healing, physical healing, spiritual healing, emotional healing, that we can be regenerated and restored. We thank you that every good gift comes from you and that you pour it out and you continue to pour it out.
Thank you, God.
God, we lift you up. We magnify you. We lift you up. Father, I pray for this body. Let the worship, let the healings, let the word, let it all be buried in our hearts, God. Make our hearts a rich soil, that all the seeds that were planted in there would come up, that they would have deep roots, and that it would come up and we would bear good fruit for your glory. I pray for a blessing over my brothers and sisters here. May they have an incredible rest of the day, a blessed week, and at every moment, Lord, may they just be reminded of your goodness, turn to you, give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Hey, thanks, man. And may the first thought be on your mind be, how can God flip this? Thanks, everybody. Don't forget your children.